Last weekend was a great weekend, wasn't it? Amen. It was exciting. Good to have a bunch of people here. Good to have a feast together. Good to have a baby dedication. Man, it took a while even for some of you guys to get out of here. So it was a great weekend, a weekend of celebration. Speaking of which, one of the things that is, Steve's mentioned it already this morning, one of the things that's rather difficult sometimes is to know, like, who's new and what their names are and all that kind of stuff. Anybody struggling to keep up with that besides Steve and I? All right. I don't know how much this is going to help, but maybe it'll give a visual demonstration, okay? First of all, I want to celebrate something. If you have been here since the last century, so before 2000, if you came here before the year 2000, I want you to stand up. See how many we got left. Awesome, right? Look around. So these are, some of you guys have come and gone, and I didn't make that clarification. Some of you guys came for a while and then took off, and now are back. Good to have all of you here, but that's what gives us some stability, right? Having these guys around for a long time is important to who we are here at PCBC. So the group that you just saw stand, if you're new here, that's who you want to connect with, okay? Because they know everything about what's going on here. Don't ask them too many questions, though, because some of our history's a little, yeah. The other thing that I want us to take just a second to acknowledge. The last year and a half has been difficult, and people have come from all kinds of different backgrounds and stuff. If you have come since COVID started, real quick, I want you to stand up. If you've come since COVID started, stand up. All right. You may be seated. This is some of why we're having this hard time connecting. We talk about this in our starting point class, so we don't want to just be a group of people that, you know, we're happy with us and everybody else, you guys stay away because we like us. We don't want to be that group of people. But as well, it brings to mind a couple of questions, all right? As we're heading into the fall, I want to encourage you, if you're fairly new around here and you're not connected with people, one of the things that we're doing here is a way to not just get you connected, but a way to begin to help you to grow. And that's called discipleship groups. They're not anything fancy. They're not anything that's like real well organized. They're not even really any specific way that you have to go about doing it. But it's a way that you can get connected with other people and get studying the Word of God so that you can begin to grow together. If you're not yet connected in that way, I'd encourage you to you can't check out the website at the moment. See me. Hopefully we can give you some information that will point you in the right direction. But that's one of the ways that we help people get to know each other. It's been encouraging to see some of the groups beginning to invite some people into their group on their own. Other groups are just getting formed with new people and say, hey, we want to start a new group. So there's all kinds of different ways that you can do it. But please get connected, all right? As we head into the fall as well, some things are picking back up. One of the important things that we've been able to do since COVID is begin to ask some questions. Are we doing the right things? Are we doing things in ways that would honor God? And it kind of brings me into what we're going to talk about for the next couple of weeks. I'm grateful for those people that are still here having gone through all that they've gone through since 2000 and before. Because there's been a lot of change, hasn't there? There's been a lot of stuff that has taken place that as you think back and you go, man, this is who we used to be and this is who we are now. And some of it's exciting, but some of it, honestly, some people probably miss some things. But I'm grateful for those people. As well as I'm grateful for those that are here that are new. Steve and I talk regularly about the fact that God knows what we need here at PCBC, and so he brings people here in order that he might equip us to do what God's asking us to do. And so some of you guys have been really important in helping us to see this is something that we need to work on as a family. This is something that we need to begin to pour our hearts into. Or these are some things that we're doing really well, and you've given us some of those reports. grateful for all of that. But as we sit here this morning, one of the questions that Steve and I regularly ask is what we are doing currently enough? Is it really what God's asking of us? And while it's encouraging to have lots of new people here, and it's encouraging to have people stick it out for the long term, one of the things that God has for us as the church and for us as Puyallup Community Baptist Church, a church that's part of the larger church, that probably isn't being done real well yet, is reaching people for Christ. We know that. We sense that. We feel that. In the next couple of weeks, I want to talk about that a little bit. Would God look down on our little group that meets here on Sundays and say, you guys are hitting the nail on the head? We've got to ask ourselves, maybe even, how did we get here? How did we get to the place where it's exciting to have lots of people, but maybe when's the last time you saw somebody close to you, either you or yourself or someone close to you, lead someone to Christ? Come into the kingdom of God. How did we get to this place? And for that, I kind of want to give a little bit of an illustration. Some of you guys know Mark and Marianne Cox, and we were helping them move a while ago. In case you can't see that, well, Stephen, can you put a bigger picture on the screen, please? Isn't that cute? They were going to throw those out. And I thought, there's no way they can throw them out. So, well, that's the last time I want to help you move, okay? She said, that's the last time I get to help them move. So I got a question. That's not what they look like now, right? Mark has hair there, a little thinner. Marianne's got hair there too, a little different color. But I want to ask the question, not only maybe physically, but how did they get to where they're at right now? That's going to answer some of that. Some of it's time, right? Like, you didn't have to do anything to get from where they were there to where they are now. It just happens over time. Some of that happens at church too, doesn't it? We are where we are right now because we've been here for 50 years. And we didn't have to do anything to get here. How else did they get to where they are now from where they were in that picture? Any other thoughts that come to mind? What's that? They stuck it out together, right? There aren't a lot of couples that stick it out together. Are you guys on 30 yet? 28. Two more years till they get to 30. Stuck it out for 28 years. Now, it's probably, if you ask them a little bit of history about sticking it out for 28 years, there's some tough things that they had to stick it out through. But it was essential that they determine, we're going to stick it out through all of that stuff, right? What else? Being godly parents, all right. Continuing to stick the course, teaching the Word of God, modeling. Do I dare ask I know Mark well enough so I can ask this. Mark, how'd you get to where you're at from that picture right there? Wisdom. Come on, Mark. I know you better than that. Age. Food. Good food. That was Cheryl Jewell, not me. Right? There are all kinds of things that we do to ourselves that we maybe don't even think about. Some things we do think about. What color's Marianne's hair there? Right? That was an intentional thing, right? But that was an intentional change that was made. There are all kinds of ways that we get from who we were to who we are now. I want us to ask the question, how do we get to where we're at PCBC? We've been here 50 years. And I believe at the particular moment in time, we've got a little bit of history. We've got a little bit of stability. We've worked through some things. We've done some intentional planning. We've also done some intentional following as we've let God lead us in the direction that we're headed. But again, I say to you, if we were to ask God, are we doing what we ought to be doing? I think God might say, you're probably not quite doing enough. I want to kind of preface what I'm going to say today by saying that this doesn't mean that we have to necessarily go out and work up more effort. I think what it does mean is we have to begin to cooperate a little bit more. God's always at work around us. He's always working in people's lives. He's always asking us to join Him in that. And so while I say we're not doing enough, maybe we need to kind of get refocused just a little bit. My wife is reading Classic Christianity for one of the classes that she's taking at the moment. She sent me this. It says, the church that forgets the gospel of salvation is finally not the church, but its echo. The church that becomes focused upon maintaining itself instead of the gospel becomes a dead branch of the living vine. The church is imperiled when it becomes intoxicated with the spirit of its particular age, committed more to serve the gods of that age than the God of all ages. As exciting as it is that we have seen the last couple of weeks, a lot of people around and a lot of excitement about new babies and a lot of dedication of parents to raising their kids the right way and all that kind of stuff, I think maybe God might want to remind us as we begin to head into the fall, hey, there's still one more thing that we have to keep consciously in our mind. We can't get comfortable with growth from other churches, but instead we must continue to press into the idea of sharing the good news that Jesus can restore relationships with our Creator. Today, I want to share a story that might help increase our desire to do that, Lord willing. And then next week, I want to share some practical ways that maybe will help you in our particular culture to be able to talk about Jesus with others. So if you take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. One of the fun things about the Gospels is seeing Jesus in normal life. And we may think, you know, Jesus' normal life looks nothing like my life. I'll give you that, okay? It doesn't look anything like my life. In fact, one of the things that I did this week, it wasn't intentional, but I was hoping it would work out really cool, is I went fishing with my dad this week. And I was hoping I'd be able to come back with all kinds of illustrations for this particular sermon because this is about fishing. Yeah, I got nothing. I don't have fishing stories, though. We did catch 3 baby bass. That was about it. But we had a good time. But Jesus' life does look a little bit different than ours. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 1, it says, on one occasion. All right, so what's the implication there? There were several occasions, and we have to look back just a little bit to find out what those occasions were. And it tells us, if you look back just a few verses, we'll look at it in just a second, but it tells us that Jesus is going around preaching the good news. He's communicating the message that there's hope coming. There's hope coming. I am the hope that was promised. So Jesus is in one of those occasions, and it says, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw 2 boats by the lake. All right, this is probably a crazy scene. As you see in the Gospels, like crowds following Jesus, what are some numbers that we know about? The first one that comes to mind is 5,000, feeding of the 5,000. There's also a feeding of the 3,000. Now, I'm not saying that this was 3,000 or 5,000, but it says that there's a large crowd that's gathered, and he's got to be able to move out onto the water, we'll see in just a second, to be able to communicate with all of these people. Last weekend, we had a lot of people here. I would say over 200. We don't count anymore because that doesn't matter. What does matter is that you guys are here, okay? But one of the things that we noticed as you get more people around is it's a little more difficult to communicate the message that you have to communicate, right? And Jesus is with a whole bunch of people. He's with this crowd of people, and it tells us that they are pressing in on him for what purpose? What does it say? To hear the word of God. Now, I know a lot of us walk through our daily lives, and we look around at people and we think they don't want to hear the word of God. They don't want to hear anything that has to do with Jesus. But I would encourage you to look at this text and begin to think through the eyes of God. They may not necessarily know at the moment that they need to hear about Jesus, but I think a lot of people are walking through life thinking, man, there's got to be more than what I see. There have to be some better answers than what I've been given. And people are genuinely longing to hear the word of God. And when they begin to hear the word of God with truth and with authenticity, they begin to go, maybe that's what I was looking for. This crowd is desiring to hear the word, and it's kind of key to what happens next, okay? The bunch of normal stuff happening probably is there at the lake. What usually happens at the lake? We go to the lake every weekend. Kids horsing around, you know, jumping off the docks. There's fishermen that are hanging out a little bit ways away, and they're probably looking at all this group of people going, man, I wish they would just go away because I can't get my job done, right? Whole bunch of people like at the Mariners baseball game. Have you ever just sat and listened? What do you hear? Kind of a buzz, right? You can't really hear anything major. You just hear a buzz until the announcer finally says, oh, okay, here I am. You're watching the game, but you hear this buzz, and I think probably as this crowd is on the beach, they're waiting to hear Jesus, there's a buzz going on. And in verse 2, it says, he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. I want to say right here, does Jesus need to find out whose boats they are? I don't think as well. It probably had labeled on it Peter's boat or John's boat, anything like that. Jesus is Jesus. Jesus knows whose boats they are, but it makes us notice there's two boats, but no owners to the boats inside the boats. The fishermen are gone, and they're washing their nets. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing after a night of catching fish, right? Again, probably a little bit frustrated, just like we were for quite a while on Thursday night, not catching a thing, right? And these guys do it for a living. It's not just like we were Thursday night out sports fishermen and hoping to just have a good time. This is their livelihood. And they've been out all night, and they caught nothing. And so now they're washing their nets, ready to head home, hoping to get a decent sleep. And verse 3, it says, getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's. Again, we're not told Jesus asks whose it is. He just gets into the boat. He knows it's Simon's, and so he asks Simon to put it out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. He asks Simon, he gets into the boat, he asks Simon, listen, let me go out just a little ways. If you've been on the water, you know that the acoustics on the water is great. You can hear things that you probably shouldn't hear if you're out on, especially American Lake. You don't want to listen to people's conversations. But it's easy to overhear them because acoustically the sound just travels across the lake, right? And so Jesus is setting out just a little ways from the shore so that everybody who's on shore can hear him. And he sits down to teach. Now, let me just say this, okay? This isn't the first time that Jesus meets Peter. This isn't like Jesus walks up to some stranger, says, hey, can I borrow your boat? Take me out there a little ways. He'd already met Peter in John chapter 1. Andrew has met Jesus. Andrew goes home. He finds his brother. He says, hey, I want to introduce you to this guy, Jesus. He probably is the Messiah, the one we've been looking for. So this isn't the first time. Probably a year has passed since then. And so Peter knows of Jesus. But he hasn't chosen to follow Jesus to this particular stage. He's watched him from a distance. And on this particular day, remember the request, go out just a bit. And he sits down and he begins to teach them. So Peter is supposed to be doing what? He's supposed to be mending his net. He's supposed to be cleaning his boat so it's not a mess. He's supposed to be doing lots of other things. But Jesus approaches him and says, hey, can you push me out a little ways? Peter says, I guess I got nothing better to do. And he goes out, and again, Peter is now on the boat with Jesus, right? And Peter is hanging out with Jesus, listening to Jesus preach a sermon. Not like the Sermon on the Mount, where it's recorded for us everything that is important that Jesus said. This particular sermon, we don't have a whole lot recorded. In fact, we don't have anything recorded except for the fact that if you went back again to before chapter 5, go back to chapter 4, it says in verse 43, he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. I think we have a clue there as to what Jesus' message was. He's preaching the good news. He sets out into the boat. He hangs out with Peter, and he's preaching to the crowd on the shore who want to hear the word of God. And then in verse 4 is where it starts to get interesting. When he had finished speaking, when he delivered his message of the good news, he says to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Another translation says, launch us out into the deep. Again, the guy's a fisherman. He knows what he should have been doing last night, where he should have been fishing, what time he should have been fishing. And now a carpenter says to him, in the heat of the day, move out from where you're supposed to catch fish, because if you're fishing with a net, you got to stay close to shore so you can catch up all the fish. Move out into the deep and cast your net in the middle of the day, and you're supposed to be fishing at night. And not only that, but they know they've gone all night long without catching a thing. Put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. This is a moment of decision that would change Peter's life forever. Because Peter could just say, you have no idea what you're talking about. Thanks for the invite, Jesus, but I'm going back to shore. I got lots to do. But he didn't. You know, some of us have been working a long time, working real hard, trying to catch spiritual fish for Jesus, and we've caught nothing. Some of us are probably a little bit tired. We talked to our neighbors already. We've talked to the friends that we work with already. All of our relatives already know Jesus is the one who saved us from our sins, and we got a relationship. Yeah, I've heard all that. And we're tired. We've been doing what we know to do. We've been working hard, but we're frustrated. And I think sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes when we finally get to that place is when Jesus says, you know what, let's do it my way this time. Let's do something a little bit different. Let's do something out of the norm. Let's step out of what we get into the routine of doing and just obey me. Launch out into the deep and cast your nets in the middle of the day. Remember, coming into this story, Jesus is the creator. He is the one who made these fish. I don't believe Jesus in this particular instance creates a whole bunch of fish so that they can just all of a sudden swim into the net. He's already created the fish. If he created the fish, he knows every fish by name. They got a name. I don't know if they got names or not. But he definitely knows what kind they are, and he sends them into this fish, okay? Into this net. And Jesus, as creator God, sends them into the net because he knows the fish. think Jesus knows the people around you? He created them. He knows their hurts. He knows their needs. He knows their wants. He knows what they're lacking. He knows everything about them. Do we trust him with that? Or sometimes are we trying to manipulate and we're trying to make something happen that God's not necessarily even doing? Because reality is, God's the one that's in charge of all of this. God created people. And I believe he's given some people a hunger for the word, as it tells us earlier in this text. Our job is to begin to find those to whom he's speaking, those to whom he's saying, look, you pursue me. And we may have to do some things differently than we've done them before. Doesn't mean we change the message, but we may have to change the method. As you look at this story, and these guys, you know, Jesus says, I want you to go out into the deep, and I want you to let down your nets for a catch. There were some things that they already knew about, right? Jesus didn't say, okay, go get a spaceship. Get a boat, right? We're going to launch out into the deep with a boat. He didn't say, go find some new fishing lures. He said, you already got a net. Here's what I want you to do with the net. So they were using some tools that they were already very familiar with, but they were doing it at his instructions. They had boat, they had net, they had water. They're just using a different approach than normal. Then in verse 5, and Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. That's a pretty natural response, isn't it? Jesus, we've been here before. We've done this, and it didn't go too well. But, and I love that little word all throughout Scripture. It doesn't matter where it comes, the word but. At your word, I will let down the nets. I can't really believe you're asking me to do this. It's you and I out on the boat. All my fishing buddies are on the shore watching us out here. You told us to go out here, and you were going to preach. And now you're telling us to go out further and cast my nets. You know what my buddies are going to think? Crazy. But because it's you that's asking, I'm going to obey. I'm going to do what you ask me to do. Because it's you. And I watch what you say to the people, and the people that you're talking to seem to be listening to what you're saying. So I guess I probably should listen to what you're saying, and I will obey. I will send us out into the deep. I don't have a lot of points today, but here's one of the points that I hope we remember past this morning. Jesus should be calling the shots and not us. Jesus should be calling the shots and not us. You know, it is as church leaders, it is so tempting to kind of want to know what the church down the road's trying and if it's working, right? And if it's working, then let's try and put it to practice here. No, that's not the way God has it for our church. And it's been difficult to fight that because we do know that there are some things that are attracting people. There are things that are making people want to pay attention. But the question that we always ask at the end of the day, Steve and I talk, is, yeah, but is that what God wants for us? Because at the end of the day, he's the one that's at work and he's the one that ought to be calling the shots. And I want to encourage you to take that to a personal level as well. I don't know where you're at in sharing your faith and sharing the good news of Jesus with others, but maybe you've kind of been calling the shots and you've got this little stash of tools that you do every time and you go through the routine that you normally go through. Everybody that you meet kind of go through the same thing. Instead of saying, Jesus, what do you want me to do today? What is it that you have in store for this day for me and the people that I meet along the way? Not our goal here at PCBC to copy the church down the road. We can't do that well, but we can be who we are well. And I trust that as we leave the four walls of this building, that we continue to be the people that God asks us to be outside of this building. That we say, God, I want to obey. At your word, I will obey. Then look what happens, verse 6. When they'd done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. Probably still people watching on the shore, right? This whole crowd, they'd heard Jesus. They watched him as he told Peter, go on out. And where are they going? And they're watching as they cast the net in. And now not only is the crowd watching, but his fishing buddies are watching. And they get this huge catch. And their nets are breaking, and their boats are sinking. And in verse 7, they signal to their partner in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Now, I don't know about you, but as I'm thinking through it during the week, and I'm reading this text, and I'm imagining in my mind what I would be thinking. You know what I would be thinking? I've just made my fortune. Like you, Jesus and I, we can go on tour together and we can do this together, right? We'll call it Jesus and Peter. And off we go. And I can just imagine in my mind all the things that I would be thinking about how we can do this, you know? We start teaching seminars, we can write books, all this kind of stuff. And yet, what happens? He doesn't go to get bigger boats, you know, buy a bunch, 12 more boats and start a whole fishing campaign. He doesn't write books. It says in verse 8, but when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. I wish that was always my response. Reality is it's not. Peter was overwhelmed that the creator of the universe stepped into a boat with him and demonstrated his power with a bunch of little fish. I can't deal with this. I don't know what to do. I know that I am a sinful man, and I've just been a part of something that is way bigger than me. I don't know about you, but I believe all of us, if we know God and we have a personal relationship with God, want to be a part of something that's bigger than just us. We want to be a part of something that's more than just coming and sitting in a pew on Sunday so I can tick off the box and get a little star on my chart. Maybe when I get to heaven, I get a little crown to put in my head. I'm not sure that that's how it works, but sometimes that's how we think. But we're wanting to be a part of something that's bigger than that. Have you ever led somebody to the Lord? I mean, that's a God moment. When you say, God, I didn't have anything to do with this, but this is the most exciting thing I've ever been a part of. This is crazy that you've met us in our world. You've shown somebody their need for you, and you've caused them to repent and turn the other direction. I think that's something that we're all wanting. But you know, sometimes I think we fall into the trap of thinking that our successes are what we're wanting. Go back to the story and Peter, and you know, again, my natural reaction is like, I'd love to catch more fish like this. You know, Jesus, let's keep doing this together. You know, we can make a lot of money. We've been successful on this day. Let's keep being successful. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with success, but here's what I am trying to say. Jesus' point on this day wasn't don't be successful. Jesus' point on this day was your success is for my glory. Your success is so that I can show myself powerful and reflect to others what a great God I am. That's why he gave Peter success. And yet so many times we sell ourselves short and we think our success, whether it's athletic success or career success or parenting success, that's it. That's not it. That's something that ought to point us toward him. God wants us to work hard. He wants us to do well. But we got to keep in mind it's for his purposes. This catch of fish was incredible. I mean, these guys have never seen anything like it before. And yet, as Jesus explains to these guys who are there in now two boats, and they're listening to him, this wasn't the point of the day. Peter doesn't ask Jesus to be on his team. Peter asked Jesus to leave. I'm not ready for this. I don't deserve to be on your team. And in verse 9, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were the other guys, James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Duh. You know, I mean, who wouldn't be? Amazed at the catch. Crazy to think what just happened. And Jesus said to, notice who he's speaking to, Simon, but he's not the only one listening. Jesus speaks to Simon and he says, do not be afraid. Okay, you just said, hey, get away from me because I don't really know who you are. I know I'm not anything like who you are. So just leave. But Jesus says, don't be afraid. You think this was big? From now on, you will be catching men. You guys are exhausted. Right? They've been fishing all night. They've been working hard. It's not like our fishing where we throw out a little pole, reel it in, throw it out, reel it in. It's not like that. You got this big, huge boat that you got to take care of, these big, huge nets. This is hard work that these guys do. And they're exhausted from being out all night. And now they see this miracle. And I think the point of this particular part of the text here is, as Peter and James and John see what's going on, not just are they shocked, but they honestly don't know what to do. They got this boatload of fish. Their boats are sinking. Their nets are about ready to burst as they're dragging these fish in, and they don't know what to do. And Jesus says, you know what? These fish aren't the point of today. These fish are an illustration of what will happen if you obey. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. Fun as it was to catch fish, Jesus says, I got something better for you. There's been some exciting things going on around here. And I get as excited about you guys about some of the stuff that's going on. But I want us to recapture this idea that, you know what, one of the most exciting things to see happen is people who are far from God recognize their need and turn in repentance and trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Jesus says to Peter, and I believe as well to the rest who are watching, that is going to be the most exciting thing you've ever seen. And although he's only talking to Peter, verse 11, and when they had brought their boats to the land, they, not just Peter, they left everything and followed him. They left everything that they knew, everything that they were comfortable with, Everything that had to do with their future, they left it all behind. And they said, Jesus, we're following. Which means what? It means Jesus is calling the shots. I'm done calling the shots for my life from here on. I'm going to follow. And what you say to do, if you say, set out a little further, cast the net, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to begin to follow. Because I want to see what happens when you're in charge. I don't believe at this particular stage that these guys are saved yet. All right, I think that's still coming. But I think they're curious and they're beginning to say, you know what, I'm going to follow. I'm going to place myself in a place of risk, but knowing that this risk is worth taking. Because, again, I'm not God. I'm not sure who you are, but you're not the same as me. So I'm going to follow. They gave up everything that they knew. And here's the reason that I want us to just think through the story today. All right? I believe that that might be some of us. Some of us may have been fishing all night long. We're tired. Our nets are broken. We feel like our boats are getting old. Some older than others. we feel like we're kind of done our thing. And yet Jesus is saying, hey, will you take me on a journey? I want you to go out with me a little ways. I want you to do things my way. And, you know, some of us, we've been doing everything that we know. I had to write these down because I'm not a real fisherman, or I would know these things. But some of us have been trying new crankbaits and jigs and lures and spinners and jerkbaits and stickworms, right? I learned all that stuff as I was trying to figure out what to use when I was going bass fishing. Some of us have been trying all kinds of things, and we've caught nothing. And we thought, you know, maybe it's just not worth the effort. We've been working hard, and we're frustrated because we know there are fish out there somewhere. Got to be fish. I've caught them before. And we're about ready to give up. I want to encourage you today to maybe do something a little bit differently than you've done in the past. It's not going to be a huge ask this morning. But I want to ask you to begin to pray regularly for Him to direct your conversations in the day to point people to Him. That's all I want to ask you to do. Pray regularly. God, throughout this day today, will you be the one to call the shots in my conversations with other people? I'm not going to plan ahead which little tool I'm going to pull out of my pocket. I'm not going to have a method of evangelism ready. I'm just going to say, God, just help me to see who I need to talk to and help me to know what to say as I talk to them. After all, fishing with men is going to take conversations. Our lifestyle isn't enough. That doesn't communicate the message of the gospel. That communicates a good person, and I hate to say it, but you know what? You look at a lot of people who are not in church on Sunday mornings, and some of them are better people than you and me. It's not about being a good person. It's about understanding that you can't be good enough to meet God's standard, that you can't get to heaven on your own, that you can't have a personal relationship with God on your own. And that takes communicating the message of the good news. Jesus came to do what we can't do for ourselves. That message has to be communicated. In the days ahead, I'm going to give you some help in this area. Next week, we're going to talk about specifically communicating the message of the good news of Jesus in our culture. And then following that, we're going to try and do some things a little bit differently. Some of you guys have been asking, you know, when are we going to start Sunday school again? Don't say it too loudly, but we're probably not. We may not do it like we've always been doing it, okay? But one of the things that we're toying about doing is kind of mini conference type things. So maybe 2 or 3 weeks on a topic and then move on to 2 or 3 weeks. So you don't have to commit to a lifelong sentence to Sunday school. Just commit to 2 or 3 weeks, okay? And one of the things that we're going to do right after my wife and I and kids are going on vacation up to Orcas Island in a couple of weeks. When we come back, what we're going to do is we're going to spend a couple of weeks giving you some real specific tools about how to just ask questions. One of the things that we notice, it's easy to talk about us, but it's hard to know how to ask questions to get people to talk about themselves, right? To find out where they're at. Even to find out besides what they like to do on the weekends. So we're going to try and help with that and give some real specific tools with that in the days ahead. But we want to be able to help you to not necessarily have a specific type of bait to use as you're going fishing, as much as just to be ready and let Jesus call the shots, okay? We would like to see God do a work here where people say, that's not PCBC, that's not the fancy music team, that's not the show, that's not the lights. That's got to be God at work as people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Will you join Jesus? Maybe he's asking some of you, you know, let's move out a little bit from the shore. Let's move out a little bit from what we're comfortable with. Let's move out a little bit from what we know. Let's do things a little bit differently. Will you join Jesus? Some of you need to just start praying regularly. Like, you know you ought to be sharing Christ, but it's one of those things that's like in the back of your head, and you need to just, like, put it in the front. Will you do that? By regularly praying, God, show me what to say today as I encounter people who don't know Christ. Each morning, God, I love you. I know you've changed my life. I know you can change people's lives out there, but help me to keep today from doing my own thing and to stay on track and do your thing. Show me where the fish are and show me what to do. God, this morning we have gone through a text that is pretty familiar, but I pray that it would be refreshing to us, that it would be encouraging to us to know that this is something that we're doing that is at your command. It's not just something that we're doing to try harder, to make our church good. It is something that we are doing because you've asked us to. And God, I believe as you direct us to what we should be doing, where we should be going, who we should be talking to, that ultimately you will bring in the fish. God, that this harvest that you've told us about is something that you already know what you're doing. It's up to us to join you in that. So, Father, I pray that you would just renew a passion in our hearts to share our faith with others. God, we know it's not up to us to draw them to yourself, to cause them to repent, any of that. That's not you. It's our job to be a faithful witness. Show us how to do that. And Father, I pray for those who even this week will attempt to do that. I pray that you would show up in their lives, that you would enable them to see you at work and be able to see people asking spiritual questions and know how to answer. God, we need to see you at work around us. So open our eyes. And God, thank you so much for inviting us into this work. We don't deserve it. You are God. We are sinful men. And God, you've called us to join you in it. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to take that invitation seriously. And Father, I pray that as we do that, we would see you at work around us in some incredible ways. In Jesus' name.